fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and today I want to talk about St. Paul's understanding of the great mystery, the revelation of what God has showed him about the nature of the church. What we see in Paul's prayer, really throughout most of his letter to the Ephesians, is an example of a renewed mind, a mind touched by the Holy Spirit, a mind that's alive to God and to God's plan and to God's purpose. So I've been mentioning last week or so here in this season of Lent, we're entering into a spiritual combat. The church is helping us understand the importance of engaging the spiritual battle more directly in our lives and learning how to discipline ourselves in cooperating with the work of the Holy Spirit within us, and to seek to really fulfill what St. Paul's exhortation in another place said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the spiritual battle begins in the mind. The devil plays with our mind, plays with our thoughts. He knows how to seduce us, how to deceive us. And he can do that on many different levels. And one of the fundamental things he does is he wants us distracted from what really matters, number one. Number two, he wants us to doubt the true nature of God. Not only does God exist, but if God exists, is God personal? Is God trustworthy? Does God have our best interest in mind? I mean, that goes all the way back to Genesis, right, with Adam and Eve, and the devil sowing doubt into the mind of Adam and Eve about God's commands and whether God's commands are good and whether behind God's command is God looking out for himself and simply not wanting human beings to come to see how great they can be. He tempts us to set ourselves up against God or to perceive God as a kind of threat, somebody I compete against, a threat to my autonomy, to my full coming to be everything that I can be. And so he knows how to distract us. He knows how to seduce us. He knows how to cause us to focus on things that are either lies or simply don't matter. What he doesn't want us to do is focus on what St. Paul describes here in Ephesians is the mystery of God's plan. The church is right at the heart of God's eternal plan for the salvation of the whole world. And really, it's the church has been in God's mind and heart for all time. And Paul describes that great mystery, this revelation that he received, that he's able to understand, and it lifts his mind and heart out of the morass of the world, the flesh, and the devil, that constant battle. And he allows the Holy Spirit to renew his mind and renew his heart. And it comes as a result throughout his life as he continues to pursue God. He's a God seeker. He's hungry after God. And Jesus made it clear, those who thirst, they're going to have their thirst quenched. Those who are hungry are going to be fed. Those who knock, the door is going to be opened to them. Those who are seekers, they're going to find. Those who really want to seek after God. And it's surprising how often the scripture, going all the way back to the Old Testament, the Psalms in particular, there's Psalms that talk about how few people seek God. God sits in the heavens and looks down to see if there's any who are wise. If there's any who seek God, wisdom, how should I live? What's the purpose of my life? What does a good life look like? How do I find it? The wise man knows it's not something I can create. It's something I receive from the one who created me. And so to pursue God is wisdom. To seek God is wisdom. So I want to just read some of chapter 3, see how far we can get today from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He says this. Paul talks often about the wisdom that's been revealed to him and that God wants to reveal to you and to me. The season of Lent, remember, it focuses us. It purifies us. It gets a lot of the distraction and the garbage out of the way and allows us to, with greater humility and simplicity, seek God. And if we seek God with a sincere heart, he'll reveal to us what we need to know. He'll fulfill his plan of bringing us into full sonship, daughterhood, that is, bring us into a full relationship with the Father, even here on earth. The saints remind us just how far and how deep we can go into Christ and to be conformed to Jesus and to come into the Father's plan and purpose for our lives if we take it seriously each day. So here's chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. Remember, Paul's primary mission and ministry was to preach to the non-Jewish world, to the Gentile world. He said, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. So Paul's, he's the steward of something that's been given to him. He's watching over it. He's meant to pass it on, to distribute it, and to make sure that it gets distributed accurately and passed on accurately. And what is he stewarding? God's grace. What is God's grace? Well, he'll go on to tell us it's essentially the mystery of God's plan that's fully revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. First, the good news of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the possibility of becoming a new creation. But what does that new creation mean, and what is God really planning in his Son? He's the steward of God's grace that was given to him, he said, that was given to me for you. How the mystery was made known to me by revelation. The mystery. Sacraments are mysteries, they're signs. But Paul is telling us that there's a truth. He's not just talking about a myth or something made up. There's something that was hidden in the heart of God. The great, profound wisdom of God and God's economy and plan, his plan of salvation, and the destiny of his creation that is in the hands of his Son, Jesus Christ, which no one could know. And Paul says it was made known to him by revelation. Of course, the central place where it happened, Paul had revelations throughout his life of various kinds, but it began on his road to Damascus when he was going to persecute Jews who were receiving Jesus as Messiah and to do everything he could to stamp out this new religion that was emerging, or this new false religion in his mind that was emerging in the followers of Jesus Christ. So Paul, as we know, was on the way to Damascus, and he was struck by a bright light, and he went to the ground, and from this glorious, beautiful light, a voice came, and the voice said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul's saying, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. The revelation there for Paul is, first of all, the majesty and the glory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Paul discovered in an instant that Jesus wasn't a false Messiah. He wasn't a political revolutionary. He wasn't just another religious guru. He wasn't just a man. But he saw for the first time the God-man. And he beheld the glory and majesty of Jesus Christ, his eternal glory, his power. There's no one like Jesus. There's no comparison between Jesus and other famous religious heroes of human history. There just is none. He's the God-man. Every other religious hero is a man. I'm not saying they couldn't bring some dimension of light and truth and there isn't some goodness or reflection of God in them. That's not my point. My point is, there is one Lord, Jesus Christ. And Paul saw it for the first time. And Jesus revealed something very powerful to him. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Here's where the revelation not only of Jesus' person, but the mystery of who Christ is being revealed. Jesus is the head of a new body called the church. He's the head, those who are baptized into him, who literally share in his glory and majesty. The glory that Paul, as the other apostles would say, Apostle John said, you know, we beheld his glory. The glory of the only Son of God. We beheld his glory, and then we became partakers, St. Peter would tell us, of the divine nature. So Paul, like the other apostles, came to see and experience and understand the glory that they were beholding, the majesty, and it's just hard to describe the glory and majesty of Jesus, but all that is in Jesus, Jesus now shares with those who say yes to his offer of mercy and salvation. So here the mystery is unfolding. Paul's saying, oh my goodness, it's not just a matter of following. First of all, I was dead wrong about Jesus, but he's not just another teacher. He's not even just a prophet or the best of our history. He's more than Abraham. He's more than Moses. He's more than King David. He's more than all of them wrapped into one. He's beyond our wildest imagining who he is. And his God's work of salvation is happening through him, one promised by the prophets who went before us, but one that we really didn't understand fully. Jesus is offering salvation to the whole world, and he's doing it by creating, if you will, one new man. Christ the head, and all those who are joined to him, his body. And they're brought from death to life, and they're made alive by the very glory that is in the person of Jesus. He shares it with them, and they share in his identity, and they're given a new character. They become a new creation. They're raised to the fullness of what they were meant to be, and that is created in the image and likeness of God. They bear the image of the Son of God. He shares it with them. So Paul is seeing all this, and then he's saying the mystery goes even further, and he realizes Gentiles? Gentiles share in the promises of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David, all of our history, that the whole human race is chosen, not just us, the people of Israel, but all of the human race is called and is chosen by God. All those who say yes to Christ and are born again and come into a share in the new humanity that's in the person of Jesus Christ, they are the chosen. The chosen are the ones that Jesus Christ has chosen. And Jesus Christ has made them something entirely new. The promises of Israel are not simply for worldly success, but Israel is God's child, God's servant, God's instrument in the world, from which comes the Messiah, who is the light to the nations. He's the light to the whole world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Do you see the mystery that's unfolding of Paul? The Gentiles are not my enemy. Now, the whole promise of Israel, the thing that I'm protecting and trying to fence off from everything else, I'm realizing is now being offered to the whole world and far beyond anything I ever imagined. That's a renewed mind. That's the mind of an apostle. And that's the mind that the Holy Spirit wants to give to each and every one of us. May he touch our hearts and minds. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.